right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Comedy Castle podcast. I'm Joel Fragamenti. I'm going to be telling you what's going on this week at the Comedy Castle, and it's Memorial Day weekend. A little bit of a shorter week, but it's going to be a fun one. Our headliner, Jason Jamerson, talked to me. We'll be listening to that in just a couple of minutes, but let's give you the full rundown. Let's start with that, shall we? And Jason's so funny, you're going to hear a lot of... He's got some great comedy advice. He's had a lot of success in not that long a time. And he's going to help me out with some things, too, which I'll explain in a second. Starting out on Tuesday, May 21, the Detroit to L.A. competition kicks off at 7:30 p.m. We got a great lineup of comics. They're competing for a chance to go to L.A. That final takes place in January. So this is just one of many opening rounds that we're going to have at the club. 7:30 p.m. Get your tickets online, of course, at comedycastle.com, as you can for all of these shows. Like on Wednesday, the 22nd, we have the beginner comedy class showcase at 7:30 p.m. Again, people working hard in the comedy class, doing their thing, trying it for the first time. Some of them will go on to be comics. Some of them will just go back to their lives, but with the memory and probably a videotape of them doing a very good, having a fun time doing some comedy at the Comedy Castle. That's at 7:30 p.m. on Wednesday, 22nd. Again, let's just, again, if you want to do a comedy class, 248-542-9900. We've got the beginner class with Bill Bouchard. I teach the advanced comedy class. I'm currently have a great session going. The next session for that will be July 14th. So if you're interested in the advanced comedy class and you've done the beginner class, call the club 248-542-9900, and that'll start on July 14th. And then our headliner this weekend, Jason Jamerson, has a single show each night, Thursday the 23rd, that's at 7:30 p.m., Friday the 24th, 7:15 p.m., and then Saturday, May 25th at 7 p.m., and again, comedycastle.com for all your tickets. Good openers this week. Robert Horton as the MC and Robin Gillerin as the feature, both former students of mine. That's really nice feeling to see them having some success being on the weekend. But let's talk about Jason. Jason has headlined this club now. It's his second weekend at the club. You'll hear us talk about it. I was out last year sick when Jason was in. So to have him back and for me to see him actually do the weekend is going to be a good time. And again, like I said, Jason has had a lot of success quickly. You'll hear me talk to him about when I saw him for the first time and how I knew he was on his way in comedy. And the other thing about Jason that's cool too is he took a lot of advice early on from really good people. That's something I got to mention. I should have given him more credit or give more credit to those names that he mentions. Like you'll hear Josh Adams and Melvin Bender and these kind of guys always giving good advice, teaching them what to do, how to do it. A lot of stuff I agree with. A lot of stuff I'll teach in my class. Another plug for that. Another thing that I like that Jason does is this Instagram rants. And he says, I need more Instagram followers. So the Jason experience, that's no E, just Jason, XPERIENCE. But there'll be a link at comedycastlepod.com if you want to go to, or I'm sorry, Comedy Castle Podcast on Instagram. That's where you get that. But he does some rants. He does them truck rants. We talked about that with Brent Terhune last week, right? The truck rants. But he also did a little skit here that I thought was so funny, and I'm going to play it for you right now. We'll discuss it. Just the setups, because you can't see it, is Jason in his car or truck pulling up to the McDonald's drive-thru, and it goes like this.
Hi, thank you for choosing McDonald's. Would you like to try our double quarter pounder with cheese meal today?
Oh, you sound so nice. I might get whatever you want me to get. But no, for real.
Welcome to McDonald's. Order when you're ready.
Well, I was just about to order a quarter pounder.
Ain't no more quarter pounders. We out of ground beef, fam.
Well, can I get a
milkshake machine down? We ain't got no milk or shake. All we got is nuggets.
But I don't want no nuggets.
All we got is a 5-piece, 10-piece, 17-piece, 72-piece, or 38-piece. Which one you want?
I ain't got no fries.
Ain't no fries. What kind of sauce you want with your 94-piece, sir? Barbecue, ranch dressing, Chick-fil-A, or wishbone Italian dressing?
I don't want no nuggets.
Pull forward for your order.
Can I talk there you go, man. That's good. There it is. Jason at the drive-thru. And that, boy, does that happen to me. We'll hear us talk about it. You get that recording, and it's the most pleasant together sounding person. In his case, he was trying to get fresh with the lady at the window, maybe if he could, and it wasn't her. But you know, just even why do they do that? Who are they selling these, you know, value combos to that they're trying to hawk? It's so stupid. It's so expensive now too. Me and my fiance were just complaining about how much Taco Bell costs now. Forget about it. Forget about it. So stupid. All right. You ready for the interview? I think so. This is really fun. Jason's one of the fastest rising local talents, and he's starting to get his name out there everywhere. So please, it's going to be a fun weekend. Listen to this, and you're going to want to get you. Even if you don't want to say, I'm not going this weekend, I got stuff to do, try to fit it in. You're going to hear Jason. He's great. Listen to this, guys. Ladies and gentlemen, on the other end of my line, he's returning to the Comedy Castle podcast and the Comedy Castle stage. It's Jason Jamerson. Hey, Jason.
Hey, what's going on?
It's going all right, man. It's exciting that another headline week. How many headline weekends is this for you at this point?
At Ridley's, this is my second one.
Second one
at Ridley's.
That's a good
one. Yes, sir.
That's all right.
Yes, sir. Second one within a calendar year at that. So I'm pretty... patting myself on the back on that one. I said they want to be out making happen.
Yeah. Or they're like, all right, we'll give them a second chance, but that's it. You could also look at it that way. Right. That's it. We like Jason. If you don't get this next one right, fuck you. You're out. You're out of the
right. No. Right.
But one of the things that's exciting for me having you come to the club is I believe I was out sick last year when you headlined. So I'm excited to be there this week.
Oh man, that's gonna be great.
Yeah.
You were now that I think about it.
Yeah. It's on Death Watch.
Oh man.
Seventh floor of Royal Oak Beaumont Hospital.
So you were across the street. You just couldn't
it was done. I was at 13 in Woodward instead of 11 in Maine, but yeah.
You're right.
I'm
the street.
Doing better now. And like I said, exciting to see you. Because I remember the first time meeting you or seeing you. I don't know if you mm-hmm. probably have no remembrance of that. But
I feel like it was at New Way.
No, I think I saw you at Parts and Labor.
Parts
Melvindale.
It probably was.
You remember Parts that
and
one? That was a good one.
You know what? I remember the first time I saw you was when you took a comedy class to one of those mics.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't remember which one it was, but it was, you know, Parts and Labor.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because I remember
that.
Because I go in there with my students, and normally, like, I'm there to you know, I perform myself, but I'm there to like help my students. I'm listening to them. I'm going to critique them. The rest of the show, I'm not really focused on. You know, so you were not in the class. I'm not really focused on you. But I remember hearing. I think we might have said hello, and then after your set, I was like, "Oh, you were really good. That was true. I never heard you right."
Oh yeah.
Then I know the second time I saw you, I know for sure where I saw you. You did Mike Bonner's Uptown Friday Night at the club, Comedy Castle. Did you do that one? Yeah.
Yes, I believe so. I can't remember when it was, but I remember I did one of those, and it was back when I had like a strong 10. But if somebody asked me to do 15, I'd be like, wait.
But you don't.
I'll give you the 10
know.
Up front. Right. Nobody knew.
Nobody knows unless you tell them, oh, I ain't got 15. You got 15. Right. I always tell my students, I go, whatever they ask you to do, you can do it. You got 60? Right. Oh, yeah, I got 60. But it's probably going to be in a couple months or 6 months or maybe even a year. You'll get your 60. You'll be all right.
Right. Yeah. Like my strategy was always if I knew I had a strong 10 and then one good joke that had nothing to do with my set.
Yeah.
If I'm doing 15, I'm doing that 10 up front, kind of playing around, and then I'm like, all right, well, time to pull the parachute cord and just tell that one-off joke and get out of there.
Yeah. But I remember seeing you at Mike's show, and I was like, I didn't even have to tell Mike to get you. He already knows about you. You're doing everything right. But that point about doing time was good. I got great advice on the road from a guy, because I was featuring these two comic shows after just a couple years, and it was 35, no opener. You know, you're doing 35, mm-hmm. no opener. And I said, well, I'm a little worried about making the 35 if I forget a joke. You know, I'm kind of putting the set list and taping it to the stage and doing all these tricks to remember my act. And he goes, well, look, if you're worried about it, he says, mess around when you get on stage. He said, the first 10 minutes, they don't even care. You know, you want to just be funny. Do your crowd work then. You know, then if you know your act for sure is a rock solid 20, then you're good to go. Just do your act. Stall at the top.
That's what Mike Bonner, Howie Bell, and Foolish all gave me the same advice. They told me your set is hilarious. Yeah. But whenever you get on stage, it's like you have the look. People want to listen to you. Your set is funny, but you need to like get people to care about who you are. Like talk to the people first.
Yeah.
Bring them in and then go into your set.
Exactly. Yeah.
And you know, so that for a while I was like, all right, that, I thought that meant I need to start doing crowd work on the top.
You can. Look, when you're
like when you try to force crowd work, it's not the easiest thing to do.
No. You gotta learn how to do it.
Yeah. Like it's a lot more difficult, especially when you're not headlining at the time. When you're just trying to go up there, and then it just seems like you're picking on people.
Yeah.
Versus being able to kind of piggyback off of what somebody else said, or you know, sometimes you want to. The art to crowd work is like saying something bad enough to make people feel some. Now I'm gonna say bad enough to make people feel uncomfortable enough. To where it's like, I know he's talking about me, but funny enough to where they'd be like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
Because my rule of thumb is funny forgives. Yeah. Like people laugh, you know, that's why dark humor is a thing.
Yeah.
If it's funny enough, people will forgive it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is you said.
Yeah.
So, you know, but you can't dog a venue out too much because then you'll get off stage and they'll be like, they want to talk to you in the office.
Exactly. That's in the comedy class too. I always tell people, I go, you know, you go to some little town and you're standing on two milk crates and a board and you're making fun of it. But the guy paying you spent all day putting those milk crates and the board together to make a stage, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. You know, but if it's funny enough, you know, and you're not trashing it like trashing it, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's just like making fun of somebody's outfit. You know, if you're going to ruin their night, then they're going to be upset about it.
Yeah.
But if you can find a way to like, and there's a few comedians I know who are really good at it, where it's like, I'm making fun of you as my friend, not making fun of you trying to insult you.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a fine line to walk.
Very fine line to walk. Which is why whenever I do crowd work, the first thing I do is talk about myself.
Yeah. Yeah. That's all we
say. I look at the crowd and see what they look like and see the differences between myself and them. And I point that out.
That's good advice. Make fun of yourself. Yeah. You can make fun of anybody.
Make fun of yourself. You can make fun of anybody. And then also, if you make fun of yourself first, then nobody else can say anything about you making fun of them.
Yeah.
Because I talk about myself way more than I talk about you.
Yeah.
And no offense, but I care more about myself than I care about you. So if I'm going to talk about myself, feel best believe everybody is going to get some at some point.
Yeah. You do a great job with that, man. Very, I mean, that's the thing about you. Even my size, what a likable guy. You want to listen to you. Some guys I don't want to listen to.
I've heard that a lot, and I never knew what that meant. Yeah. I'm just like, because people will say that. I'm like, but was it funny? You know, I'm like, when you get on stage, it's like, I just want to hear what you're saying. People want to listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, but do they laugh at it? No, that's the.
Well,
it took me a while. To realize all of that kind of goes together.
Yeah. But if it's not, if what you're saying is funny, but they're looking at you like, I don't want to listen to this guy, then you got no shot at all.
Exactly.
You know, because there's comics that are just real likable and they ain't funny, but they're like, hey, it was nice. What'd you think?
Yeah.
you ever hear two comics talking about a guy? What do you think of this guy? Nice guy. You know, right. That's the worst thing you want to hear. When comedians say you're a nice guy, means you're not funny, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, man. That's my guy right there, man. He's real cool, you know?
Yeah.
I'd do anything for him.
Yeah.
Hey, except give him stage time.
Yeah, right. Work with Steve last night. You ever work with Steve? Yeah, nice guy. You know? Ooh, Steve ain't funny. Yeah, but you've been doing it great, man. I mean, unbelievable. I mean, when did you start? What year did you start doing comedy?
I started doing comedy in 2013, but I say I was redshirted that year because after my second open mic, I hurt my foot,
really?
My ankle, and I was in a cast for like 3 months. And then it took me a while to get back into it. And I didn't start back again until, early 2014.
Yeah.
So my redshirt year was 2013, and then I was living out in Novi, so I was doing a lot of shows at Laugh Tracks.
Laugh Track. Yeah, that was.
I lived around the corner from there, so I was like walking distance. And yeah, so it made me realize the difference between the styles of comedy because I started at Joey's, then I went to Laugh Track. And because it was like right there, I was there every time they had a mic, a show or anything, I was there. But then when I actually did a show in the city, I think Josh Adams was the first person to put me on a show in like actual Detroit. And when I went to Detroit and like there is a difference between how your jokes are received if you do mainstream a lot and then go to an urban room. I felt like I was reciting my jokes, like I was reading them from a piece of paper the way everybody was looking at me.
Hmm.
Because, you know, it's not the joke, it's how you deliver it a lot of times.
Yeah.
Like more urban rooms want to feel like you're making everything up off the top of your head.
Interesting.
You could have wrote this joke, have it like down to a T, everything you said. And there's a few people, few comedians that are, you know, more famous that when I met them, that's what they all told me. These are all urban comedians.
Yeah.
They've all told me, it's like, you know, make every joke sound like you're just making it up off the top of your head. Like don't let anybody know that you're going into a joke. You're making this a set.
Yeah.
And it does help. But then there's also like the more mainstream clubs, they appreciate the structure of a joke and that they could tell like this is the beginning. So, you know, they appreciate the fact that it's like, oh, this is the part we're supposed to laugh. Mm-hmm. And then we listen to this part and then we laugh at this part and then we listen to this part. And you know, it also helps when you're just naturally a funny person because then you know how to find that middle ground. You can balance that out. So,
That's been a strength of yours, I take it.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Finding that middle ground. It took a while because, you know, people would tell me all the time when I first started, they would say like the jokes are funny, but it doesn't sound like you. Mm. Like it sounds like you're just, you know, you're manufacturing these jokes. But these are the people who know me. People who didn't know me, saw me on stage for the first time. They're just like, oh, that's, you're funny. You're one of the funniest people on the show. Everybody else that I knew, they're like, that's not even how you talk. Like that's, your speech pattern's different. Like we can tell that you put on a mask for this when you get on stage.
Right.
And so one of my biggest things was I wanted to be able to have anybody in my family come to a show and enjoy the show and not, you know, this is why I do relatively predominantly clean comedy. I didn't want anybody in my family to have to like clam up when I told a joke. And so, however, when I first started, I was just saying the funniest things that I could think of.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember my grandma came to a show one time and it was right after my wife had a child.
Okay.
And, nobody tells you about that 6 weeks after the child is born, that you cannot, like the child comes out of the vagina. You cannot go into the vagina for 6 weeks. And I had a joke about that, talking about how, you know, it was, you know, I had to take care of myself, but it was so long since I had any kind of action that I started getting cobwebs in my drawers.
Oh.
It was getting real dusty and I had to jack off a pledge. I had to jack off a pledge. That's how long it's been. And so my grandma was in the crowd, but I did not know somebody wouldn't pick my grandma up to come to this show. And, after the show, this is actually how I found out she was there. When I told the joke, I heard her laugh over everybody else's laugh. Oh. I'm like, that sounds like Odell. But I wasn't sure. After the show, she tried to act like she was offended by it. Like, why don't we go over there talking about that? I'm like, I heard you laughing, Odell. You thought it was funny, but now you're upset that I said it. But it was after that, I was like, yeah, let me do more things that come natural to me. And that's when I stopped thinking about, you know, trying to just think of funny things and start actually taking real stories that happened to me in life and just finding the humor in those and just exaggerating it. Return left, I think it was Melvin Bender told me. I was a sponge when I first started comedy.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're going to hear the name. You're
getting good advice, though.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I went to comedy shows with people who I may know I was not going to get any stage time.
Mm.
But if I knew, if I knew I was going to be able to soak up some information, I would just go anyways.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'd be there anyways. And so, like, there would be a lot of times I would go to Baker's Keyboard Lounge where Kool-Aid would have his show.
Yeah.
And I knew that over there by the bar, they would just be sitting there talking. And I just stand over there so I could talk. Sometimes they would, you know, they notice I'm just sitting there and they start making fun of me. I'm like, all right, I got to earn my stripes somehow.
Oh, I got made fun of brutally when I started, man.
You got to earn your stripes somehow. Yeah. But, I was like, you know, I know they're going to say something, but I'm going to pick some things up. And so, you know, just sitting there, just being a fly on the wall, I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I learned a lot. You know, they just talking about how to structure a joke, the way they structure jokes, how to, you know, make the joke even funnier. Mm-hmm. You know, like the point I was just getting to was where Melvin Bender told me, he was like, wherever they think you're going to go, whenever you feel like people think they know where you're going to go, make a left.
Yeah.
And then make another left. And then make another left. In my head, I'm like, that's a lot of lefts. It sounds like I'm right back to where I started. But at the same time, I was like, you know, this is good advice, because if people know what I'm about to say and they can say it before I do, then it's not as creative as I would like it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise them with that finish. The funny part.
Yeah. Got to surprise them with the. Yep. Yep. Like, and that's what I try to do. That's what I try to do. A lot of the jokes I have, a lot of people, like, when I was pulling stuff out of the air to just come up with jokes, it was, you know, just things I thought, oh, that would be funny to talk about. Or I thought people would think it would be funny to talk about it. And then I started thinking about my life. I'm like, I was a homeschooled black kid in Detroit.
Mm-hmm. That's funny right there.
That's funny right there. Why don't I talk about that more and dig into that? And so, you know, on top of that, I have two brothers and three sisters, you know, and, you know, I got a big family, all that stuff. So, you know, I have plenty of material to draw off of. So, and once I started drawing off of that material, I'm like, this is the stuff that actually, like, that material helped me get more material, because the more I talked about it, the more I remembered other things that happened.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, yeah, this is the way to go. So that's, I don't even know how I got here. I'm also one of them people where it's like, we'll start talking about one thing, and then 10 minutes later, I'm going to be like, so what did you say? You said, we was trying to figure out what pizza we was getting. That's what we were doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, that conversational quality, I always tell my comedy students, I go, great comedy sounds like you're talking to your friend and that you're telling the story for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of good stuff. All right, I got to talk to you about these videos on your Instagram. I'm watching some of these before the show today.
Mm-hmm.
So funny. I mean, you're just sitting in the car and you're ranting and raving about this, that, and the other thing. I love the McDonald's one. I'm probably going to, at this point in the show, people probably already heard it. I'm going to play that at the top. The drive-thru. That was so great.
I didn't think that one was going to get as much views as it did. It's
so funny. Because,
you know, my social media presence is trash. Like, I'll post things and whatnot, but I have under 2,000 followers on Instagram.
Yeah, get some more.
It's like, you know, I'm just like, you know, that's one of my other things I got to work on. Yeah. I never shout out my Instagram at the end of the show ever. And I just need to start doing that more. Yeah. But I think that was the first video, either that one or the one of the ones where I said music that you shouldn't listen to with your homeboy in the car.
Okay. Yeah.
One of those two were the first ones where it's just like I had over like 10,000, 20,000 views. And but once again, comes from a real place.
Absolutely.
I got tired of pulling up to the drive-thru and then some nice lady talking to me.
Yeah.
Halfway through me about to start my order, it was like, will we be using the mobile app today? No, not today. All right, what you want? Excuse me.
It is like that, man. And it takes you by surprise, because like you think they could, even if they want to do recording, like, if the guy's working, like, he could hit a button, it'll play the male version of it. Or maybe they see it's you and they go, oh, we're going to play the lady. And like, if it was a lady pulling up to the drive-thru, there's like a real smooth, like, kind of dude.
Yeah, like an Idris Elba type
exactly
song.
Exactly right, yeah.
Dude, this is welcome to McDonald's. You know, deep voice, British accent.
Yeah.
You know? And so, yeah, I was fooled. I was fooled, and I said, I have to had to make it known I was fooling and made that video.
Yeah, that's super funny. Super relatable. Great stuff. Yeah. And then I got to ask you this. Now, look, I'm just, you know, I'm a 50-year-old white guy, you know, whatever. I don't know all this stuff. But I'm going to ask you now that I got you on the phone. I think we're friends. You got to explain the Kendrick Lamar and Drake feud to me, just so I could understand it. As a guy who maybe could tell you the name of one Drake song, and I know I've heard Kendrick Lamar, but I couldn't tell you the name of a Kendrick Lamar song. Break this down for me. Tell me what's going on with these two guys.
So there's the oversimplification of it, which is basically years and years and years and years ago, Kendrick Lamar did a guest verse on a Big Sean song called Control.
Okay.
And on this song, Kendrick Lamar has said that he doesn't care who you are, if you're my friend or not, in this rap industry, I'm trying to be better than you. Mm. And then he goes on to name drop a bunch of rappers who he thought he wanted to be better than. Drake was one of those rappers, but so was Big Sean, whose song it was. He was on the song with them. Okay. Wale, J. Cole, you know, a bunch of other rappers. Everybody else was like, hey, he's supposed to want to be better than us. That's what he's supposed to do. But for whatever reason, Drake got offended. And I want to say it's because he's Canadian and people are so nice in Canada. He was like, why is he saying these things about me? And so Drake got offended. And after that, they just here and there started sneak dissing. Fast forward to recently. J. Cole, who was just trying to be the nicest guy in the world, is instead of being competitive, he says, oh, yeah, we're just the best three rappers, me, Drake, and Kendrick Lamar. And, you know, yes, he says that multiple times in songs. We're the big three. And Kendrick Lamar recently had a song early in, like, February where he said, forget the big three, it's just big me. And that just blew up the internet at that point where he was just like, everybody just thought he was trying to downplay Drake and J. Cole, but you know, you just like, no, I'm still trying to be better than you. I told you this years ago. I want to be better than all you guys, and that's still the case. And
guys just can't just move on.
Guys just can't move on. They just decided I'm going to write angry poems at you.
That's so
about you, because that's ultimately all a diss track is a angry poem. And so,
but doesn't it kind of just make everybody bigger, or just one guy actually suffer? Does somebody?
So, if it was a rap beef like back in the day, where it stuck to rap stuff, which is like, I'm better than you at this, I can rap better than you, right. I get more women than you, I have more money than you, I even look better than you. And then the other person says, no, I look better than you, I have more money than you, I can rap better than you. And then they just go back and forth. Like, that's the basic thesis of a rap beef, whereas these guys decided we're going to try to destroy the other person's personal life, period. And Drake brought up allegations of Kendrick Lamar beating his wife. Kendrick Lamar brought up allegations of Drake being a you can't say it on the internet, but they call it a PDF file on the internet.
I think we can figure that one out.
Yeah, and the problem is usually when you're talking about anybody, when you guys are going back and forth, even in like a regular roast battle.
Yeah.
The first person who has to defend themselves about something they said, the other person said, loses.
Interesting.
Like if I say, oh, your shirt is trash, and you say, no, your shirt is trash, we can go back and forth. But I say, your shirt is trash, and you're like, how's my shirt trash? My shirt isn't trash. You lost at that point.
Okay.
So it got to a point where Kendrick Lamar made like two songs back to back. One of them was extremely good. I'm not gonna lie, I like it. Talking about Drake and he being a PDF file. And in Drake's next song, he was just like, that's not me. I've never done that. Don't you think I would be in jail if I was one?
So Drake lost.
At one point, Drake lost, in my opinion. At one point, he said, I'm too famous to do that. I'm like, Drake, don't you not know that that's the MO of most famous people? That is what most famous people go to jail for. And so, all in all, it was stupid to me because it just ended up, I thought it was going to be about rap, and ultimately it turned into the gossip columns.
I don't know. Like, I mean, look,
I started worrying about people's personal lives and whatnot, and I'm over here just, I'm just worried about people's personal well-being at this point. Yeah. Forget the music. They're just snitching on record.
Well, I think it's good if the music's good, if those songs are actually good songs. You said Kendrick's song was good, one of them, so that's good.
Yeah.
You know, you want that.
Yeah. Yeah, you want that, but a lot of the other ones weren't. They weren't that good. And like I said, that one was good because it was, you know, he also was talking about Drake at that point. He was like, all right, I made these PDF file claims. So now I'm just going to say other things about you that I don't like and how you always collaborate with an Atlanta rapper when you need to make some money because you need a hit record. I was like, okay, that's more creative. But when he was just like, nope, you are a manipulator and you do this, this just really sounds like both of you guys need to go to therapy.
It sounds like it. And I'm not even saying, listen, first of all, thank you for the explanation. I don't believe I understand it any more than I did, but it's not that you did a poor job. Listen, I can tell you about how Lynyrd Skynyrd and Neil Young didn't get along.
No.
If you want to know about that, but
I had no idea.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a crazy thing.
It's the same thing. Yeah.
It's funny how I see on social media all the time. It's a culture difference. Like black people say, like, oh, you see them. You never see any rock stars breaking, dissing each other or not getting along.
Oh, they
do. Because you don't listen to rock music. That's why.
No, they
do. If you listen to it, you may know.
Yeah, they do. They diss each other and they fight over girls and whatever. And then, you know, this guy opened for this guy. But at the end of the day, it's the same thing. Somebody thinks they're the biggest, they're the best. And then the next guy comes along and tells it. Same exact thing.
Yeah. Like people really don't know. If they do know, they don't acknowledge that Gwen Stefani and Britney Spears were beefing at one point.
Oh, my goodness.
And that is where that Holla Back Girl song came from.
Oh, okay.
That is really, it's a diss track.
I did not know that one either, but all right.
It's a diss track. She said, I ain't no Holla Back Girl. So apparently she was ready to run up on Britney Spears if need be.
Yeah. Well, I think people feud, but I think with rappers and musicians, because that's their creative outlet, that's how they do it.
Yeah.
You know, I think like if two plumbers get in, you know, to a beef, they just like throw wrenches or something. I don't think they're not making songs.
Right. They just spam each other on Google reviews.
Exactly. Fighting on Yelp.
Right, fighting on Yelp or just making fake reviews. Like, he came to fix my toilet and it's even worse than it was before.
All right. Well, listen, man, we'll talk. I hope to hear more about the beef this weekend at the Comedy Castle and bring it strong, man. It's going to be a good weekend. It's Memorial Day. So, you know, anyone that doesn't have plans, you come out and see a great show this weekend.
Oh, yeah. Come on out. It's going to be a good time. A very good time.
Absolutely. Well, Jason, I'll see you then. Thanks for talking to me. This is great. We'll see you this weekend at the Comedy Castle. Everybody go get your tickets. Come on.
All right. Yeah, get your tickets.
Get your tickets. One show each night. Let's go. Come on.
Let's get it.
Enjoy.
Let's get it. You'll be home in time. If you're older, you can take your medicine halfway through the show, and you'll be home in time to go to bed. And if you're younger, you got time as Royal Oak, so you got time to go and party afterwards.
You can go right. Yeah, that's right. You go over to Fifth Ave after. Come on.
Absolutely. We got the perfect time.
Perfect.
Jason, you might see me there. You never know.
Yeah, Jason will go over there with you. He'll go over to O'Toole's.
Yeah, you never know. You might see me just roaming the streets of Royal Oak afterwards.
Hey, Jason, thanks so much for talking to me, man. We'll catch you this weekend.
All right. I'll see you.
Take care, man. Bye-bye. Did we solve the rap beef? Did we do that? I should have given you a little preamble about figuring out the Kendrick Lamar Drake feud. He explained it. He explained it well. I'm not sure I know what the hell's going on, or maybe I don't care. Whatever it is, there it is. As succinct and as well told as you can do it, Jason did it for me, so I appreciate that, Jason. All right. Fun show. Fun weekend. It's holiday weekend. It's hot here in Metro Detroit. But be sick of the heat by this Thursday, Friday, Saturday night. But Jason Jamerson at the club. Robert Horton, Robin Gilleran opening those shows. And then, of course, we got the Detroit to LA kickoff on Tuesday. and the graduation showcase for the beginners on Wednesday. It's a big week at the club. It's always fun to have you guys listening. Again, Instagram, that's where you can find the Comedy Castle podcast. Add us on there. That's right. You add us on the Comedy Castle podcast. And, you know, it's actually Comedy Castle Pod, all one word. Comedy Castle Pod. Find us on there. I link to all of the headliners that we have in their Instagrams. So then you can follow Jason and all the headliners. It's so fun. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to this. We'll get you out of here. Enjoy your holiday weekend. Come see us at the club. It's going to be a great time. We'll see you then, everybody. All right. We'll catch you next week. Bye-bye.